God's word is a fire in my bones,
and I cannot keep it in.
We are not building an institution or a program.
We are building the kingdom of God.
This is Do Not Keep Silent.
Good evening, friends. This is Jason Mazurek. Thanks for taking time to tune in to Do Not Keep Silent. Katie Erickson's in with me tonight. How's it going, Katie?
Doing good. How you doing, Jason?
Doing really well. Tonight, we're going to take a look at discipleship. Yeah, don't be a pushover. Again, this is Do Not Keep Silent. You can find us at donotkeepsilent.com. You can also head over to worldviewwarriors.org. That's worldviewwarriors.org. You can find out more about the ministry there. We've got a brand new resource available. Actually, we got a whole bunch of resources there.
A whole bunch.
10 Reasons to Believe the Bible, God is Good, written by our guest right now.
That would be me.
Yes, an author, speaker, and blogger here with us tonight. And again, she does so much for the ministry. We appreciate her. And friends, before we get into it, as far as discipleship and our relationship, you know, Katie, what is discipleship?
Well, most simply put, a disciple is actually from the Greek word mathete, which most simply means a learner. It is a person who follows their teacher and desires to be exactly like him or her. So if we follow Jesus Christ, we should desire to be his disciple, desire to be exactly like Jesus.
Yeah, absolutely. So with that said, you know, we know there were 12 disciples. Out of those 12, we know there were three that were kind of like closer, I guess is the best way to put it. So a disciple is someone that follows and imitates?
Yep, exactly.
Okay. So, you know, how do we do this discipleship thing?
Well, there's really no easy answer. There's not like, this is exactly how you do it, your two-step process or, you know, whatever. But it all boils down to being in relationship with Jesus and being in relationship with others who are also in relationship with Jesus. And most importantly, being willing to learn, be willing to be molded into the image of Christ.
Absolutely.
So there are some characteristics that a disciple should have, such as I just said, intimacy with Christ. You should have faithfulness in the spiritual disciplines. And I know that's a whole other thing we could talk quite a lot about.
Sure.
But basically, you know, reading your Bible, prayer, you know, other things to keep you close to Jesus. A disciple should have a biblical perspective on the circumstances of life, or we might even call that a biblical worldview, perhaps.
Huh. I wonder where that came from.
Yeah, kind of like what we do around here at Worldview Warriors. So a disciple should also be a teachable, responsive, humble, and obedient spirit. You know, we got to make sure we're teachable.
Yeah.
A disciple should have the characteristic of a clear sense of personal purpose and calling. You know, you can't just follow Jesus haphazardly, you know, like, I think I will today, tomorrow, not so much. You know, you've got to have that clear sense of that purpose of this is why I'm following Jesus and, you know, being intentional about it. Another characteristic of a disciple should be a healthy relationship with godly people. You know, you can't be a disciple all by yourself. You have to be in relationship with others to encourage you and support you and just help you through it. And finally, a disciple should have ongoing ministry involvement in the lives of others. Again, being in relationship with them, ministering to them in any way that you're called to.
Yes, absolutely. Now, the one real quick I just want to touch on, a teachable, responsive, humble, and obedient spirit. Now, because what actually comes to my mind is train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it. And so a lot of people say sometimes when you're discussing with them things, whatever it is, well, you're not being very humble or you're not being very teachable right now. Well, what if a person is sharing with you things that are, I will say, quote unquote, ungodly or totally against the word of God, and they're wanting to, quote unquote, teach you something, but they're saying, well, you're not teachable. Well, of course you're not teachable because you are choosing to say, you know what? You are not the person I'm learning from right now. I'm learning from my disciple or my discipler.
Well, and you can learn from those who are trying to teach you the world's ways.
Okay.
But learning the world's ways is different than following the world's ways.
I mean, explain that real quick.
I do think it's important to know the way the world thinks, basically, so you can recognize it. You know, you have to know who your enemy is in order to be able to fight them. So we have to know the ways that, you know, the devil corrupts people, the, you know, the signs to look out for. You know, we have to know, like, okay, yeah, this person, we have to identify they're being very worldly or they're being godly. Like, we have to know, you know, what we're up against, essentially, in order to know what the truth is and to be able to counter that with God's truth. So if someone is showing you their worldly point of view, I mean, not saying shut them down, but, you know, make sure you know that, like, hey, that's the worldly point of view. That is not what my teacher, that's not what Jesus is telling me. You got to be able to know the difference.
Again, what comes to my mind with that is 1 Corinthians 15:33, where it says, do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. And so like you said, you know, you can learn the world's ways, but that doesn't mean you should, like, fall into it, do it.
Don't be corrupted by them.
Okay.
You know, it's important to know the difference and be able to recognize, oh, this is the world versus this is what Jesus is telling you.
And it is such an important thing to understand, because so many times people will say, well, you're not very teachable. Well, okay, I want to be teachable, but just because you're teaching me something doesn't mean I should completely learn it.
Yeah, we shouldn't learn and take to heart everything that people are telling us. That's just not okay.
Well, and that's where I think being shrewd like a serpent yet gentle as a dove really comes in.
It does.
So with that said, you know, you had mentioned a couple things here, is, you know, things that we maybe could do, characteristics, as you said. So with that said, Kitty and I kind of want to dig into our relationship just a little bit, so you can see that, man, how many years has it been? 13.
Well, I met you in the summer of 2007. So yeah, 13 years.
Oh my goodness.
Uh-huh.
So just to give you a little idea, friends, when Kitty and I met was when Worldview Warriors literally was just starting. And my very first day being full-time with the ministry, we met. I don't know, was it like June 4th or something of that year? I don't even remember.
It was, well, it wouldn't have been until July.
Okay. So it was July?
Beginning of July.
Is when I think it was my first day moving into that office.
Yeah, because that's how I met you, because right. I worked in the building.
Okay, so I just want to give you an idea, friends, of how this all worked. So Katie actually also is an engineer,
mm-hmm.
and you can kind of explain that a little bit.
I'm an engineer. You're to explain.
What kind of engineer?
I'm an electrical engineer. I design fuel terminals for a company called Ridge & Associates in Findlay, Ohio.
Okay, so, and you had just started there.
I did. Like, I started there July 5th of 07.
Okay.
So I'd had a couple other engineering jobs before that and was happy to get out of my job prior to that and very excited to start at Ridge because I was like, hey, this is a really cool place to work.
Right, and the owner of that company, He was like, hey, you'd really be interested to know this person because she's in seminary right now and learning, you know, learning about the Bible and things. And maybe someday you two could work together. And I was at the time, I'm kind of like, well, we'll see. I really don't know. But, you know, God definitely had a plan in that. Is that fair
to say? For sure.
You know?
I mean, just the fact that I found that job was totally God. I mean, that's the only way to put it. Like, I was to the point of I was doing Google searches to try and find an engineering job in Findlay, Ohio. Like, I was
back
really...
in 2007.
Yes, in 2007. Yes. Not today.
Right.
And, I mean, I literally found it on a Google search. They had a, you know, very basic job posting, and I was like, well, can't hurt to try. Sent in a resume and cover letter. Nobody at the company had no connection to anyone. And eventually, they hired me.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, that's really kind of cool.
It was really cool. And so the office for Worldview Warriors was right down the hallway.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'd come in. I'd be the crazy guy that usually would come in later than everybody else.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Walk in.
And be loud. Go figure.
I was way louder than everybody else.
Yes.
It was kind of funny. I just want to say this, too, because the person who was working at the, you know, welcome desk even came back and said, Jason, shh, you need to quiet down.
A few times. I think she would occasionally even shut your door for you.
Oh, it was wonderful. Yeah. Uh-huh. So, but the thing is Katie and I, even through that, started to get to know each other a little bit. And she, you know what, I'm just going to have you tell your story a little bit. And through doing seminary, you started to realize that you started enjoying, well, one couple things really big time with your
like the
degree.
Biblical languages, yes, I think is what you're talking about.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. Before I started seminary, I was terrified of the languages. Like, I had not yet put it together that God gave me a gifting for them. And of course, now looking back, I was like, well, how did I not see that? But whatever. So yeah, in the course of my seminary career, I discovered that I just absolutely loved and had a passion for the biblical languages. At the time, I actually liked Greek better than Hebrew, but now I am like so all about Hebrew. Like, it's just amazing.
Right.
So yeah, so I discovered that. And, you know, it was one of those of I didn't know really what God was doing in my life, because I'm working as an engineer going to seminary to get a Master of Divinity. Because those go together. Yeah.
So well.
So not at all. But God told me to go to seminary, so I was like, okay, here right. goes. I don't know what you're going to do with this, God.
So with that, friends, I just want to say this. What's so awesome with Katie, okay? So in what she had shared earlier about some characteristics that a disciple should have are as follows. One of them is a clear sense of personal purpose and calling. That's what Katie is talking about. She is an engineer at an engineering firm, and God is saying, go to seminary. And she's saying, what?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, when the time, it was actually 3 years prior to when I started seminary that God first told me to go. And it was another year until I was okay with it. It was almost another year until my husband was okay with it. And then it was another year to like figure out the logistics of, oh my goodness, how are we going to do this? Because
right.
we had to move. We relocated. I mean, not that far, but still we relocated, bought another house and all that. So yeah, it was like, okay, God. And really, the thing is, you know, it sounds like I had a clear idea of my purpose, but I really didn't, other than God said, go to seminary. And I said, okay.
Right. So what it was hear his voice, hear his direction, obey. That's all you really had to do.
And so the cool thing was, so I ended up attending Weinbrenner Theological Seminary in Findlay, Ohio. And the day that I came for a visit, so in the fall of 06, before I started seminary in the summer of 07, the president of the seminary at the time gave a talk, and he used Psalm 119:105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And I'd never heard it explained this way before, where it's not, you know, God's word is like a big floodlight showing you the whole path. No, it's a lamp. Lamps aren't very bright. And it's just showing you, okay, this is the next step in your path. And that just really resonated with me, because I'm like, I really only know this one step. You know, my plan at the time was like, well, maybe I'll stay at this engineering job for like 3 or 4 years until I'm done with seminary, and then I'll be off somewhere pastoring a local church.
Right.
I'd like to point out that 13 and a half years later, I am still there.
right. Still there. But friends, God had a different plan that, you know, maybe Katie doesn't see it this way, but I surely do. God's plan was for Katie to get involved with Worldview Warriors greatly. Now,
oh yeah.
The thing that's kind of wild is when we started Worldview Warriors, a big dream, a big vision we had is at the time, because the internet still wasn't what it is today. I'm not even close, okay? Social media for sure wasn't what it is today. There's no maybe. But we sensed that God was leading us basically to start like a church or congregation, if you will, online. And we're kind of like, okay, that makes no sense whatsoever. How are we going to meet? How do we stay in touch with people? How do you keep people accountable? All that kind of stuff. And so it was kind of like, okay, well, I guess we'll see what happens here. And so in and through all that, by the way, I just want to say this too. Podcasts was like nobody was doing them. And then we were buying books to learn how to podcast and blog, because, you know, the experts who are writing quote-unquote books surely should know what they're talking about. As now I look back at that, how silly, because we should have been online looking for that information.
Right?
But it's just funny. So in and through all that, though, we had people come and go in the ministry, and Katie and I just started to form, I would say, a pretty tight friendship, I think is the
I would agree with that. Yes.
You know?
When we talked to each other often, because you were always walking past my office to get to your office space that you had at the time. So, you know, stop by, chat for a minute. How's life? You know, all that. And,
well,
yeah.
And, you know, one other thing that's so awesome is the owner, again, the owner of this business where you're working as an engineer, he is such a gracious person, a loving person, and totally about expanding the kingdom of God. Okay. I mean, like completely. That's like, I think if he could have done things differently, maybe he would have been in ministry, but instead, that was his ministry. There's no maybe, okay? He's no longer there, but he's a retired friend. So,
yeah.
But the thing is because his mindset was that, He allowed you and me to have this relationship on company time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of times like we'd have having discussions about, you know, I mean, like the ministry or just life or whatever, you know, it's like, eh, I should probably get back to engineering now.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there will be times, I'm not kidding, you know, 30, 40 minutes at least talking about focus and doing things. And the thing is, he was gracious enough to allow that to happen. And not just, again, about ministry, but this is where the discipleship, for me at least, comes in, is in those circumstances. And we had others, too. But in those circumstances where we would talk about life, or Katie may ask me a question, you know, about her own life, or, you know, hey, what would you do about this? You know, I'd ask, what would you do about this? And then we also would be talking about just theology in and of itself, trying to figure each other out in a way.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, do we compliment each other or not?
Like, do we agree on this or not? And usually we did. Like, personality-wise, Jason and I are kind of opposites.
Oh, gosh. There's no maybe.
I mean, there are some similarities, but generally speaking, we're kind of opposite. That at least has really helped me grow as a person. I mean, honestly, being on this show for the last almost 10 years, I struggled to get Jason to prepare ahead of time. And he's more of like, let's just wing it. It's all good. And I've learned to do that a lot more, you know, after being around Jason. And I think that has helped me mature as a Christian and be able to handle different circumstances with a little more flexibility than I normally would.
Right. And on the flip side of it, Katie has helped me, even though she probably can't see it as much, but for me to be even more organized than I used to be, for sure. I hope you see that a little bit, right?
A little bit.
Okay. But I am. I'm a little more organized, more focused, and she's helped me to do that better within the ministry, for sure. Now, one thing before we continue to move on here, though, I just wanted to share this, too, is something that's been so awesome with Katie, because she, I mean, friends, I'm just letting you know, she's like completely sold out for what God has called us to do. I mean, I can say that pretty confidently. You know, maybe I could just have her say it, but I want her to know. I know that for sure. On the air, I want her to know that. Right?
It's true. I'd agree with that.
Okay. And, I mean, with that, she helps us to expand the ministry on the website. She helps us regarding resources like books and all that stuff and putting them together, and not afraid to give us her opinion on how things really should be.
Yep.
And the good thing in that is I'll listen. Sometimes I'm like, okay, we need to do that. Other times I say, maybe we need to do that a little different. And I'm sure that's hard for Katie to hear.
And then
sometimes
I go, what? Oh, my gosh. What is Jason thinking? And I have this little, like, rant, and then eventually I get over it, and it's okay.
Right.
Because, you know, it's one of those of Jason is the leader of this ministry. And even if I don't agree with something he decides, I need to respect that, because that's the way the ministry is, and that's okay.
Right. And again, that doesn't mean, and I'm sharing this, friends, because it seems so many people today, if somebody disagrees with you, then they must be the enemy. Absolutely not.
Yeah, that is so not the case with us. We've had a lot of disagreements and come out, and I think our friendship's gotten better for the disagreements that we've had.
Right.
And I think that's a very important piece is, you know, if we agreed on everything all the time, that would be kind of boring. And there wouldn't be growing and maturity happening if we didn't have disagreements from time to time.
Well, and friends who are tuning into this right now, I want you to think about iron sharpening iron, okay? So in order to sharpen a knife or a sword or whatever, I mean, you have to have metal hitting that, and you sharpen it. Okay, yes, you could dull it. I get that, but the thing is if you're doing it in a healthy way, it'll sharpen. So what we're talking about is Katie gets sharper, I get sharper, not just in our relationship, but out in the world when we deal with people.
And even in things of matters of God's word, you know, like we'll share something that, you know, we've read or learned or whatever. Like I just blew Jason's mind earlier tonight when I told him how many Jameses there are in the New Testament.
Yeah,
he was like, what?
Yeah. It's pretty awesome. It really is. You know, friends, if you want to hear more, we'll probably talk about this some other time. But I want to keep going because I want to dig more into like what the Bible really says about discipleship and things. But before we do that, I want to let you know about a book Katie's written. It's called God is Good: Reflections on the Book of Judges. Now, the neat thing is this is available not just in paperback, but it's available on Kindle as well. Again, you can find this at worldviewwarriors.org. That's worldviewwarriors.org. Again, God is Good: Reflections on the Book of Judges. And something in here that I just find, well, I don't know if she came up with this herself. I think she did. But this five-step cycle. I love it.
Well, you know, God kind of came up with it.
Yes.
But, you know,
that there's a pattern that's repeated within the book of Judges, which is sin, slavery, supplication, salvation, and then silence. Okay, so supplication would be the people cry out to God for deliverance. So some of you are wondering, what is supplication? You want to dig into that?
I needed an S word, really.
Okay, well, but what is supplication for those who don't
know?
Well,
in this situation, you know, first there's like the sin of people do something wrong.
Okay.
And then there's slavery of God punishing them for doing something wrong. And then supplication is when they finally realize, oh, we did something wrong. God, please help us.
Okay.
That's supplication.
Okay. And then God delivers them.
Yeah, and then salvation is when God delivers them after they cry out and, you know, with a true heart of repentance and all that.
Yes.
And then silence is that, like, okay, let's take a break from all this until they get complacent and fall back into sin and the whole thing repeats itself.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, friends, with that, you know, have you ever felt like that in your own life? I mean, this cycle? I mean, I know I surely have. So when I read that, I was like, oh my goodness, eye-opening. So, you know, the cycle of turning away from God, messing up, pleading with God, oh God, please rescue me, and then turning back to him. Well, friends, in this book, God's chosen people experience this. They experience that same cycle. And Katie goes through the book of Judges. And so I encourage you to join her on this journey through the ups and downs and life challenges that people of Israel learned through this period of time, and to see how, well, these lessons apply to your life as a follower of Jesus Christ today. Again, that's God is Good, Reflections on the Book of Judges. Again, available in paperback and on Kindle at worldviewwarriors.org. That's worldviewwarriors.org. And Katie, if we can, as we, well, we got about 5 minutes to go here before the top of the hour, just share a few texts about discipleship so people can know, okay, yes, this is something biblical. It's not something that Katie and Jason just came up with.
Yeah, that's very true.
Yes.
So Luke 9:23-24 says, then he, meaning Jesus, said to them all, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross daily, and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever wants to lose their life for me will save it. So in there, I mean, we have like, I mean, that just kind of sums it up right there. There's three key points of discipleship in that verse: denying ourselves, taking up our cross, and following Jesus. So denying ourselves means we and our selfish desires are no longer the top priority in our life. Jesus is. Taking up our cross means submission and obedience to Jesus, giving up our rights and thinking of others instead of ourselves. And of course, following Jesus means a deeper commitment to the continual process of following where Jesus is leading in your life. So there are, of course, lots of other passages as well. So Luke 14:27, in there, Jesus looks at the negative of this situation. So if a person does not carry his cross, he cannot be Jesus' disciple. So carrying our cross means surrendering to God the things that we struggle with. And by carrying our cross, we give up our rights to have things the way we want them. And instead, we need to follow the way that Jesus is leading us. So, and if you read further in Luke 9, we see the cost of following Jesus. So it starts out, whereas they were walking along the road, a man said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. Jesus replied, foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. He said to another man, follow me. But he replied, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Still another said, I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family. Jesus replied, no one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the service in the kingdom of God. Now that sounds pretty harsh, right? Discipleship is not necessarily an easy thing. But Jesus provides us with these three examples of the cost of discipleship. These include losing the security of a place to live, making Jesus a priority over other people and emotional attachments, and focusing our lives on the goal of discipleship with him instead of anything else that we could focus on.
You know, I just want to say I really appreciate you sharing those, because that is so difficult to do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, friends,
Nobody said it'd be easy.
No, it's not easy. And friends, I just want you to know, we're not saying we got this all figured out either. Believe
oh, gosh,
me,
no.
We wrestle with our flesh and blood as well. We wrestle of, okay, Lord wants me to do that, but that's going to make my friend upset. Oh, my gosh, do I really do that or not?
Yeah,
it's hard.
Or even, I don't really want to do this, but God is telling me to do this. We struggle with that sometimes, too.
100%. So, friends, again, I thank you for tuning in. To Do Not Keep Silent, you are tuned in to the program. Again, you can find us online at donotkeepsilent.com. That's donotkeepsilent.com. You can also find our parent ministry at worldviewwarriors.org. That's worldviewwarriors.org.
This is the Worldview Warriors Fastcast,
your daily spiritual energy drink,
with your host,
Jason Dzurek.
If you are following Christ and doing your calling for Him, trust God. Friends, it's not about you anyway. And if another person chooses to not follow God, as long as their actions are not directly or negatively impacting another person, I would encourage you to let them go their way. Could another person be hurt indirectly? Well, more than likely, yes, but that is a result of living in a sinful world, isn't it? Consider the rich young ruler, friend. Jesus told him the truth and challenged him to go a certain way. The young man decided to do what he wanted to do and to go against God. Other than being selfish, why else would you or I or anyone try to force someone to follow God? I will leave you with this question. If you really are about following Christ and His example, are you willing to follow His example with the rich young ruler as well? Go find our blog post titled, Lead Me, Follow Me, or Get Out of My Way today.
Find us online
at worldviewwarriors.org.
In Jesus Christ.
I won't play your games. Just let me be.
Find us online
at donotkeepsilent.com.